Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. We'll read verses 19 through 26 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 26. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 26. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for being in this place. Thank you for your presence. Father, please, we're a needy people. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room and so many needs. There's no way humanly any of us could meet all those needs, but you sure could through your word and through our preacher. Father, please fill him with your power as he preaches. May we please you because of the outcome, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
By the time I'd go ahead and move that out of your seat, if you would, Brother Bush, that way we don't have another accident. By the time I'm finished this morning, you'll say I've never been in a service quite like that before. Not because I'll come up with something new and modern, because I don't believe in the new and modern trends that are taking place in our nation in fundamentalism, but because I will take something old and I will remind you of it in a unique way. It'll be a bit different. Your modern churches today are getting further away from God, not closer to God. You'll find anytime you get further away from God, then you attend church less instead of more. The people that are closest to God are the people in church the most. The people that are furthest away from God are the people that don't come to church at all, or they come by every once in a while. You'll even find a trend. They have somehow stopped having midweek or Wednesday night services. They just decided, well, people don't want to come, so why have a midweek service? There are churches that have stopped having Wednesday night services. There are churches that have stopped having Sunday night services. Well, as long as I'm in my right mind, this church will have Wednesday night and Sunday night services. And may I recommend to this church that you fire me if I stop having Wednesday night and Sunday night church services. I'm locked into the old time ways. I plan to lock myself in there. I don't want to make it so I can escape and become a modernist or try to redefine fundamentalism or what fundamentalism stands for. It'll be different this morning. It'll be different. In the passage of Scripture that we just shared, we see that Jesus Christ is holding a night church service. In John chapter 20, verse number 1, it tells us this story takes place on the first day of the week. You read it together with Brother Bush a moment ago. The first day of the week, which is, you know, on your calendar, you think the first day of the week is Monday, but that's not really true. If you look all the way at the left column of your calendar, it usually is Sunday. Sunday is scripturally the first day of the week. Jesus was resurrected from the dead, and he appears to Mary Magdalene. Jesus then appears that night to an assembly of his disciples. This is the story where Thomas does not show up, and this is happening at night. Thomas doubts the appearance of Jesus because he missed church that night, and Thomas went down in history for being what we called Thomas the Doubter. Now, the whole reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because today I'm going to talk to you about night church. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, the Bible says, and this is about the Apostle Paul, it says, upon the first day of the week. So what it taught was, there on a Sunday, Paul preaches to them until midnight. So here, Jesus has an assembly of people at night that he meets with. The Apostle Paul, later on, following that example, has a night church service. In John 20, where we read earlier with Brother Bush, it says that they assembled. If you read the words there, it says they assembled together. Now that word, the word assembly, it's a word ekklesia. The word assembly there means they are a called out assembly. That's what a church is. The Bible says we're not to forsake the churching of ourselves together. The word church is the Greek word ekklesia. It means churching. So here in John 20, verse number 19, it says that Jesus had church with these people at night. So they assembled in the evening. Now, remember, one of his disciples named Thomas did not show up at this evening church service. It says in John 20, 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So that means this. They had night church, but Thomas didn't show up. And Thomas went down in history for being a doubter. Why? Well, Jesus had been resurrected, and Thomas didn't show up at church. Jesus showed himself to the disciples, and later on, he showed himself to the disciples at church that night. Well, Thomas wasn't there. Later on, the disciples say, Jesus was here. Thomas said, nah, he's dead. I doubt that he came to church tonight. And they said he sure did. Thomas went down in history for being a doubter. Why? He didn't show up for church at night. As you know, our spring program is about night church. Usually, when we have when I say the phrase, our spring program, if you will, we talk about every spring, every fall, we have an attendance drive here at our church. Now, normally, our attendance drive is all about Sunday mornings. We specifically work at increasing our attendance on Sunday mornings. But I felt that it'd be quite important that we don't forget about the evening services, and that we especially don't forget about Wednesday night church. I've always been taught, and listen to me very carefully, it's been my privilege to be around some men that have pastored 40, 50, 60 years. I'd guess a man that had pastored 50 or 60 years knew what it was all about. I'm going to guess he would know where success would lie for a church. I've always been taught this. I was taught that the true backbone of your church are the people that are there on Wednesday nights. And I feel like everybody here would like to be a part of the true backbone of the church. I really feel that. But I felt like I ought to teach you and tell you about it, and I thought that you ought to know about that. Now, Dr. Jack Hiles, who built the world's largest Sunday school, he taught me, and I sat and listened to Dr. Lee Robertson, built one of the finest churches, largest churches in this nation. I heard both of them say that there are a couple of elements that you've just got to work on if your church is going to be what God wants it, one of which is Sunday school, and another is your evening services, and you can learn a lot about a church by just looking at their Wednesday night church service. You see, the reason the gray-haired veterans in the history of the United States would preach or teach that the backbone of your church is the Wednesday night attenders is because of this. The Wednesday night crowd is usually the crowd that's faithful to Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You stop and realize, your Wednesday night crowd, they're at everything. The Wednesday night crowd, they're hearing more of the Bible preached than anybody else. The Wednesday night crowd are singing more of God's praises than anybody else. The Wednesday night crowd, they're fellowshipping more with God's people than anybody else. The Wednesday night crowd, they're learning the doctrines of the Bible at a more rapid and steady and solid pace than everybody else in the church. The Wednesday night crowd, they're getting a midweek spiritual meal to help keep them strong throughout the week. The Wednesday night crowd, those are your people that are most deeply involved at the church. Hey, it is said, and again, if you took a veteran pastor of 40, 50, or 60 years, he would testify to this. It is said that if ever a church has some type of a problem in its midst, and there somehow someone rises up and causes division and hurts the unity of the church. You've heard of church splits, which we don't have around here. But you've heard of church splits. And it is said, if there is division or chaos in a church, it is usually the Wednesday night crowd that sticks with the preacher and sticks with the church and stays loyal. And they're the ones that don't cause trouble. And usually your troublemakers are the ones that don't come to the evening services. This, of course, is because of the previous things I told you. Why? Because the Wednesday night crowd's the ones that are there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And they're the ones that are there that are hearing more of the Bible taught. And they're the ones that are singing more of the praises of God. And they're ones that are fellowshipping more. All of those things that I listed, that's the reason why. I want to tell you a little bit more. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to share again with you our spring attendance building campaign. It's called Midweek Madness. Now, don't let these lights bother you. Don't watch the lights. Listen to me. And if I see your eyes crossing every couple of moments, I'm just going to turn the lights off. Matter of fact, man, you can go ahead and turn them off right now. We got people that are crying and their tears are running down their back. So let me tell you about what we call Midweek Madness, if I could. I'm not only promoting the spring program. If you're listening to me, I'm promoting and teaching you a philosophy that makes the church strong. And I want a church to be strong. I want you to know what's going on. I want you to understand why we do what we do. We call it Midweek Madness. Now, this is what we're doing. On Wednesday night, April the 4th, and April the 11th, that's a Wednesday night, and April the 18th, that's a Wednesday night, and April the 25th, that's a Wednesday night, we're doing some fun things. Again, it's called Midweek Madness, and we kind of use a little theme of with the word midweek, and then each category of fun for the night is broken down. It starts with an M. For instance, there's music, there's meals. We're going to monkey around, and there's some ministry. Now, let me say, musically, every Wednesday night for the month of April, we're going to do this. Our choir is going to sing an opener. We'll have special music every Wednesday night. I'm talking about solos and duets and quartets and special choirs. We'll have a sing-along, where an old-fashioned gospel sing-along where Brother Nash will lead us. Well, our junior choir and our primary choir are doing some special things on those Wednesday nights. Now, so you know, the junior choir, the primary choir, every Wednesday night they meet, but they're going to do some special things for those four Wednesday nights. Our new teenage choir has now started, and that meets at 6:10 on a Wednesday night. Every person who attends our Wednesday night services for the next four Wednesday nights, if you're age four and up, we're going to give you a free music CD. These are delightful songs. You cannot buy these songs anywhere. They're not on the market. We went to the originator of these songs. We communicated. We received permission and copyright permission. We took these songs. We made the CDs. They're all professionally made. And they are delightful songs by a man who has written some great, great music. And you're going to get one as a gift. So every person, there are four different CDs. Every person, age four and up, that are here this next Wednesday night, and the three following Wednesday night will get one of those free CDs. Now, that's the music part of Wednesday night. Now, the meals. Every Wednesday night, for four Wednesday nights in a row, starting at 5:45 over here in the gym, concluding by 6:45, we're going to serve a meal. It'll cost $1. And now it's going to cost more than that for us, but that will just make it so this is doable. Thank God for Holly Stanley. Holly's a good cook, and Holly's heading up making the meal, and you'll enjoy it. Now, this week, April the 4th, the meal, we're going to have hot dogs, we're going to have chips, we're going to have desserts, we're going to have drinks. The next week, it's going to be spaghetti and garlic bread, and again, dessert and drink. The third week, we're having burritos, we're having taco in a bag. Do you know what a taco in a bag is? They are good. They take a bag of corn chips and they put all the taco stuff down in it. And you can grab that thing and and get up, do the twist, you know, shake that thing up, and they are delicious. The last week we're having chili and cornbread. Each week there'll be dessert and there'll be drinks. Start right over here at 5:45. What you'll do is you'll walk into the gym. There'll be a host or a hostess there, help you get served, eat your food, then come right on over here and sleep all the way through my Wednesday evening service because I fed you. That's the meals. At the end of the service day, I'm going to find out who's coming so we can get a count. Then the third M is monkeying around. You say, why? Well, it just was an M and I needed a third M in here. And so you can see these monkeys up here. We're going to have a drawing on Wednesday night. Everybody that walks in the back door back here, we're going to give them a little piece of paper. They write their name on it. They'll walk down to the center aisle, and right out there in the entryway, there'll be a little basket that Brother Tennis will have set up. You'll stick your piece of paper in there, and in the night I'm going to draw some names, and if I draw your name, you're going to get a monkey to take home with you. So we're going to have some monkeying around. We're going to have some skits, and actually they're music skits, and this week you'll hear a song called I Just Can't Do It. It is hilarious. You're going to enjoy it. The next week, the music skit is called the 1205 Dash. You say, what's that about? Now, actually, our church service concludes here about 12:30, and today it'll be about 1:30, but usually, no, I'm just kidding you, it'll be about 2. No, we conclude around here at about 12:30, but the song is called the 1205 Dash because a lot of churches, you just got people sitting at the edge of their pews ready to dash out of church as fast as they can get out of here. They're miserable all morning long and just can't wait to get out of church. That's what the song's about. Then on April the 18th, there's a song called Wore Out that will be done, and another called You Ain't Got Nothing At All. You said that's bad grammar. Yeah, but it'll be good singing and you're going to enjoy it. Then we go to the ministry part. So during our program, there's music, there's meals, there's monkeying around, and there's ministry. Now, every Wednesday night for these 4 weeks, I'm teaching a different lesson. This Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about the famous animals in the Bible. The next Wednesday night, I'm going to teach a lesson called Catastrophes from the Past, during our time, or the present, and the future. April the 18th, I'll teach a lesson called The Most Evil People in American History. I'll associate it with the Bible and Scripture. April the 25th, I'll teach a lesson called The United States in Prophecy and What is Our Country's Future. Every Wednesday night, we have a teacher's meeting at 6:15. We have a bunch of fun things going on in there, so the teachers will be faithful. Then, everybody that brings a first-time visitor to a Wednesday night service, what you'll do is right back here at the back, and this is Leanne Lopez. I'll have a table set up back there. If you bring a visitor, age 4 and above, to the Wednesday night service, we're going to give you a gift card to a local restaurant. You'll get one, and your visitor will get one. You say, but the ones who counts as a visitor, anybody that's never been to a Wednesday night service. That means if somebody's been to our church on a Sunday morning but never on a Wednesday night, they'll count as a Wednesday night visitor if you bring them. If they've been here on a Sunday night but never on a Wednesday night, you may count them. If they've been here for some other special service but never here for a Wednesday night, you may count them as a Wednesday night visitor. You say, wonder if they're a member of our church. Well, if they're a member of our church and they've never been here on a Wednesday night, you may count them as a visitor. Each visitor will count one time. And for every qualified visitor you bring, we'll give you a gift card to one of our local restaurants. The adult Sunday school classes are attempting to have a high percentage of their class members here on Wednesday night. They're actually going to take Wednesday night attendance, and they'll turn those into me. And we've got them divided into three categories, and each class that wins in one of those three categories, we're taking them to Ryan's restaurant, and it's on May 5. I'm taking all of them out to eat, and we're going to go and celebrate their victory of having people in Wednesday night church. If you've not received a copy of our spring program, there's some at the back table back here. You'll notice them. It's printed just like here, the big sign that's behind me about Midweek Madness. You grab you one, you get associated with what's going on. See, night church is scriptural. It's scriptural. It's in the Bible. Jesus had night services. The Apostle Paul had night services. And you look back in history, you'll find out midweek services, they're in history. I mean, they've been having Wednesday night church services as far back as you'll find out. But churches everywhere have stopped it, and they're slowing down. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to increase it. I believe in the old time ways, and I believe this is an important part of the health of a church. We want all of our members to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I want all of you to become a part of the backbone of the church, as those old veterans preachers describe it. And I think a bunch of because you want to become a part of the backbone. You want to be a part of what makes this church what it is. Hey, if you're only here on Sunday morning, I can't tell you how much you're missing. I can't tell you everything you're missing. And you must like it on Sunday morning. Because you keep coming. Well, you'd be shocked what goes on around here in the night services. I mean, you think you have a good time on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It's incredible. It's fantastic what happens. Now, stay with me, if you will. Let me break this down, and I'm going to keep talking to you. Number one, Thomas, in this passage of Scripture, Thomas missed the night service, and therefore, he missed some important things. In this passage, when Jesus showed up at that night service and Thomas was not there. Let me read some things to you. Thomas missed the presence of the Lord. In John 20:19, that's the passage that we read earlier. It says this, "Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them." You know what happened? Thomas missed meeting with Jesus. When you miss Wednesday night church, you miss meeting with Jesus. You say, what's the big deal about night church? Jesus. Jesus. You miss being with Jesus. It's another opportunity to be with Jesus. Thomas missed the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to this. In John 20, verse 22, it says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You want to know something? If you're missing Sunday night service, you're missing the Spirit of God moving upon you. If you're missing Wednesday night, oh my, oh, does the Spirit of God move in this place on Wednesday night? He said, "I'll tell you what, Brother Owen, I love the Spirit of God in this church on Sunday mornings." Well, guess what? The Spirit of God's showing up on Wednesday nights too. He's showing up then too. But Thomas missed that. Thomas missed seeing what others had the privilege of seeing. Listen to this. In John 20:20, it says, "Jesus showed them his nail-pierced hands and feet." You know something? No other place in Scripture did people get to see the wounds in the hands and the side of Jesus Christ. This was an honor that was only made available to those people that came to night church. The absentees miss it. And I'm going to tell you, those of you that are absentees on Wednesday night, you're missing it. You are missing something. If you don't believe me, come and see. Come and see what God is doing in this place on Wednesday nights. Verse number 21 of that passage, it says, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." Something happens in the evening that does not happen at any other time. Every time a person misses church on Wednesday night, they miss something special that God had for them. Hey, they had the privilege of seeing God in a special way that night. Hey, Thomas missed having peace in his heart. The Bible says that Jesus said to them in John 20:19, "Peace be unto you." Some of you that don't have the peace that you need in your life, come back to church on Wednesday night. We'll help you get that peace. There's some of you, you are so troubled. Your life is so goofed up. You can't find peace. You can't sleep. You're a nervous wreck. You know what I do? I come to church on Wednesday night. Amen. Those of you here on Wednesday night, does Wednesday night calm you down in the middle of the week? Hey, they missed the peace. Thomas missed the important instructions concerning the will of God for his life. Why? Didn't show up on Wednesday night. He missed instructions for his life on a Wednesday night. He missed the instructions for God's will. Listen to this. John 20:21. Jesus said, "Even so send I you." You know what? Jesus that night said to everybody that was at church, "You get to be here. I'm sending you out all over the world. I'm giving you instructions for the gospel." And those people at night church, they got to hear that. Thomas showed up later and said, "So what happened at church tonight?" They said, "Jesus came back, resurrected body. We've seen the nail prints in his hands and his feet. And he gave us the will of God for our life." Thomas missed it. Right. He missed it. He missed the will of God because he did not show up for church at night. Thomas missed the opportunity to learn and be challenged to help others. John 20:21, it says, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." What was happening? That night church, they were taught by Jesus how to go out and help other people. Yes, sir. Hey, a lot of people don't come back because they want to stay home and watch TV. Is that more important than everything else that happens around here? You see, number one, Thomas missed the night service, and therefore, he missed some important things. Had it been a Wednesday night church service, Thomas didn't show up and didn't think it was important. Number two, you should attend the Wednesday night service because many great occurrences in the Bible happened at night. Listen, The Bible says in Psalm 17:3, "Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night." Can I tell you something? There are people all over this auditorium by the hundreds that are here on Wednesday night that would say, "God visits me on Wednesday night. God meets with me on Wednesday night. God visits his church on Wednesday night." He probably wishes his children would visit his church on Wednesday night. Hey, there's a story in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus comes walking on the water. A nighttime miracle that took place happened when? In the night. Jesus told his disciples to get into a ship. They were to go across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus goes up into a mountain to pray. All of a sudden, a storm hits. And the disciples on that boat in the middle of the sea, they're afraid they're going to be destroyed. And Jesus comes walking on the water. When? At night. At night. And Jesus said, he said, "Fear not. There are some of you, we could still your fears if you just come to church at night so you could get what you need to still the fears in your life." There's a story in the Bible of a man by the name of the Philippian jailer. It all takes place when? At night. Paul and Silas had gone to the city of Philippi. They had been out soul winning and they got thrown in jail for doing something good. When the nighttime came, Paul and Silas were having night church in jail because they couldn't get out to go to the other service. And they were singing and praising God and teaching the Word of God. And all of a sudden an earthquake came. When the earthquake came, the doors of the prison burst open. The jailer thought, "Oh no, my prisoners have escaped." And he feared that they would escape. But Paul said, "Don't worry, we're still here." The Philippian jailer at night said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And he got born again. Listen, Paul and Silas got, they were used of God. Why? They were doing what they were supposed to do at night in church. There's a story of Jesus calming the sea at night. He and the disciples had climbed into a ship in Matthew chapter 8. They were out floating on the ocean and a storm hit. And again, the people were fearful that they were going to die. And Jesus was asleep on the bottom of the boat. And they say, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And Jesus said to them, "Oh, ye of little faith." He goes up on top of the boat and he says, "Peace, be still." And the waves and the wind, they rise up and they salute him and say, "Whatever you say, Jesus." And the disciples said, "Wow, what faith he has." Let me tell you why some of you don't have the faith that you need. It's because you don't come to church enough. And I'm not mad at you. I'm saying we need more backbone around here. We need more people to come up part of the backbone of the church. Hey, our church is growing. It's growing in leaps and bounds. But we are desperate for help from people that become a backbone and know that you've got to have faith. You've got to still your fears. You've got to want to be used by God. You've got to find the will of God for your life. As this church gets bigger and bigger, you've got to have a strong backbone if you're going to grow, because it is that backbone that keeps everything else healthy. Nicodemus, listen, the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. You know when it took place? At night. The great John 3:16. I mean, if there's one verse that most everybody in this building knows, it's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." You know, I think John 3:16 was given at night. The greatest verse in the entire Bible was spoken out of the mouth of Jesus Christ at night. At night. No wonder the old gray-haired veterans, church builders of history said, "Hey, keep that Wednesday night crowd hot. Hey, keep that Wednesday night crowd. Hey, keep it up. Be there." Why? They're the backbone of the church. They're the backbone of the church. I said, number one, Thomas missed many things by not being at the night service. Number two, you should attend the Wednesday night services because many great occurrences happen in the night. Number three, by being at church on Wednesday night, you're going to learn more of the Word of God. You're going to learn more of the Word of God. It wouldn't be a good idea for you to think it or say it, but if you are thinking it, you're saying, "Well, I get enough." No, you don't. No, you don't. It's like money. Can you ever have enough? And the Bible says His words are more precious than gold. No, you can't get enough. Psalm 119:11 says, it says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." If you don't want to sin against God, you need all the word of God you can get. The Bible says in Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, don't you need guidance for your life? Well, you need all the preaching of the Word of God that you can get, because it is that that will give you guidance in your life. Let me tell you what you miss by missing Wednesday night. Let me tell you what you miss by not being in our Wednesday night services. Stay with me now. Stay with me. I taught a series here on Wednesday night called What the Bible Teaches About the Bible. Yes, sir. 32 lessons all about the Word of God. I taught a lesson called, the first lesson is called The Changing of Our Minds by Memorization of the Word of God. The next lesson is called The Changing of Our Minds by Visualizing the Word of God. Every Wednesday night, a different lesson. The Personalizing of the Word of God. The Harmonizing of the Word of God. I taught a lesson called The Great Book Used by Great Men. A lesson called The Many Descriptions of the Word of God. A lesson called The Holy Spirit and God's Word. A lesson called Rotten Bread. A lesson called Daily Bible Reading. A lesson called Reading the Bible by Faith. A lesson called Read Your Bible with an Attitude of Surrender. A lesson called Read Your Bible for the Sake of Others. A lesson called Read Your Bible on Schedule. A lesson called The Word of God Still Changes Man. A lesson called Read Your Bible for God's Glory. A lesson called Your Bible Reading Will Not Be Void. A lesson called Read Your Bible by Character. A lesson called Preparing Your Attitude for Bible Reading. A lesson called The Bible A Recipe Book. A lesson called The Word of God Our Sword. The Word of God An X-ray Machine. The Word of God A Love Letter. The Word of God Like a Fire. The Word of God Like a Hammer. The Word of God Like a Mirror. The Word of God Like Soap That Cleanses Us. I gave you a lesson called Every Word of God. I taught a lesson called Don't Spill the Milk. I taught a lesson called The Word of God is Like a Lamp. I taught a lesson called The Word of God is Like a Seed. I taught a lesson called The Word of God is Like Water. I taught a lesson called The Word of God is Like a Map. Now let me ask you a question, my friend. How are you doing on your Bible reading? What's your relationship with the Word of God? Then let me follow that question by saying, you come to church on Wednesday night? Yes, sir. I struggle with my Bible. Show up on Wednesday night. We'll teach you how to read the Bible. I taught a series here on Wednesday nights. I taught a series called Are You Still Winning or Still Losing? It's talking about keeping people out of hell. The lessons are like this. Lesson 1, soul winning's primary prerequisite. Lesson 2, what is soul winning? Lesson 3, the Holy Spirit in soul winning. Lesson 4, soul winning in opposition. Lesson 5, are you soul winning or soul losing? Lesson 6, soul winning in love. Lesson 7, how to pray for the lost. Soul winning, number 8, the plan of salvation. Number 9, soul winning in boldness. Number 10, the Great Commission is in 3 parts, not 1. Number 11, a soul winner in hell. Number 12, soul winning in the security of the believer. Number 13, winning people who are close to you. Number 14, confrontational evangelism. Number 15, soul winning in missions. Number 16, how to get your converts to church. Number 17 and 18, getting people into the church. Number 19, getting your convert down the aisle. Number 20, I taught a 4-part lesson on how to get somebody baptized. Let me ask you a question. You know how to get somebody saved and get them baptized? That's a great commission. That was given to you and me. Every one of us are to be getting people saved and baptized. I taught a lesson on getting your converts baptized because it's a command, a lesson because that God said do it after they get saved, how to get them baptized by immersion, and that they're to get baptized immediately after their salvation. I taught a lesson called How to Follow Up. Follow Up Part 1, being a spiritual parent. Follow Up Part 2, being a spiritual nurse or doctor. Follow Up Part 3, being a farmer or a gardener in the life of someone. Follow Up Part number 4 or 5, like being a spiritual carpenter. Follow Up here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, I taught a lesson called The Mathematics of the Great Commission. 30 sermons in a row on Wednesday night, 45 minutes long, very practical, very easy to follow on how you ought to be a soul winner. Let me ask you a question. You don't come to church on Wednesday night. It is your obligation as a Christian to tell other people how to be born again and saved. You don't come to get the training, so you're not doing what God wants you to do. I'd say you ought to show up on Wednesday night.
Amen.
I taught a series on the subject of prayer. Let me ask you, you getting your prayers answered? Got a prayer life?
Good.
No! You even pray over your meals?
Come on.
If you do, that's pretty minimal. Yeah. 29 lessons I taught on Wednesday night. Wednesday night after 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 Wednesday night. Yeah, you hear this, young. Well, I don't find me another church. I'm not being fed. We're having a buffet around here, 3 services a week. We got so much spiritual food around here. We're all getting fat and fast. I'm getting fed. You ought to show up at the trough, babe.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Prayer. Prayer is asking for something. Lesson one, a lesson called pray about prayer. Lesson three, the first purpose of prayer. Lesson four, what does God get out of prayer? Lesson five, what do we get out of prayer? A parent's prayer for their children. How to pray for a big day. We pray too much. You should have heard that sermon. We pray too much. You should have heard it. You say, what do you mean we pray too much? Now, there's some of you that pray about whether you ought to come to church on Sunday morning, and you're praying too much. You just ought to obey and show up.
Amen.
We pray about things that God's already commanded us to do. You ought to just obey. You don't have to pray about God. Hey, if you don't have to pray and say, God, should I give my money to the church faithfully? God's already said that in the Bible. You don't have to pray about it.
Yeah.
Prayer. Hey, how's your prayer life? I taught a lesson called, why do I pray? Because I'm commanded to. Because I'm allowed to. Because others need me to. Because I want to. Because sometimes I have to. Why do I not pray? Another series. A lack of character. I don't pray because of my pride. I taught you to pray about your desires. And one reason you don't pray is because of poor scheduling. When you should pray. Where you should pray. How you should pray. Worship and prayer. Confession and prayer. Praise and prayer. Praying for others. Praying for myself. Music and prayer. The value of a prayer list. To whom much is given, much is required. 29 sermons on the subject of prayer on this old, dead, dry church on Wednesday nights. And you don't come.
Right.
How's your prayer life?
Good.
Wednesday nights, I taught a series on the home. 34 lessons. I taught a lesson called The Family and Salvation. A lesson on the first family, the first home, how to protect your wife's spirit. 1 and 2. There are people in here. You'll destroy your marriage because you didn't show up on a Wednesday night when I taught a man and I taught men how to protect the spirit and the attitude of a woman.
Yes, sir.
I remember the lesson so vividly and so clearly. I taught a lesson why we have teaching on the home. I taught a lesson called Teaching the Bible in the Home, part 1 and 2. I taught about how to have family devotions and the resurrection of the family and our family reaching other families for Christ. I taught a lesson called From a Bitter Spirit to a Better Spirit. I taught a lesson called Mighty Men about men and being a good dad and being a good husband. I taught a lesson called Healthy Homes. I taught a lesson called Themselves, Yourself, or God. And the question was, for who are you raising your kids? I taught a lesson called Manners in the Home and the Home in Friendship and Singing in Your Home and Living by Schedule in the Home and Christ the Head of Our Home and What to Do When your mate is backslidden. I taught a lesson on family vacations and the Spirit of God in your home and forgiveness in your home and anger in your home and a single parent home and gossip in the home and love in the home and practical observations about a marriage in your home. I taught a lesson that was 3 parts on the Proverbs family. I taught a lesson called The Home and Finances. I taught a lesson called Confusing Ways. Let me ask you something. Is your home what it ought to be? I beg of you, just come and let me help you on Wednesday night as I teach the Bible.
Amen.
I taught a series called Biblical Finances. Listen to me carefully. Those of you that are in a mess financially, this is what you miss by not coming on Wednesday night. I taught a series on Wednesday night called Biblical Finances. 32 lessons. One called Thou Shalt Not Steal. Another one called Our Increase is from the Lord. Another one called Thou Shalt Not Covet, part 1 and 2. Another one called No Other Gods. Another one called Thou Shalt Not Kill. You say, Thou Shalt Not Kill? Uh-huh. Yeah, I taught how that stealing and misusing money, God teaches that it is akin to the thing of killing something. I taught a lesson called Money Versus the More Important Things of Life. Instructions on how to be a good employee. Finances and Soul Winning, part 1 and 2. Signs that you have financial problems, part 1 and 2. I taught a lesson that is entitled What Truly It Means to Be Rich. I taught a 5-part lesson on why we suffer financially. I taught a 4-part lesson on finances and how to save money. I taught a lesson called Finances in Your Children, Finances and Sales Resistance, 2 parts. I taught a lesson on the tithe. I taught a 2-part lesson on how to get out of bad debt. I taught a lesson on finances and using a budget and a lesson on credit cards and a lesson on investments according to the Bible and general observations about finances. Let me ask you a question. What shape are you in financially? Your pastor taught 32 lessons in a row on a Wednesday night, and they weren't cheap lessons. I sunk my heart and my soul into them. They were a revival type, practical spirit in this auditorium on Wednesday night, and you missed it.
Right.
And you missed it. I'm currently teaching on child rearing on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
You care about any of these things? You care about the souls of men? You care about children? Do you care about your finances? Do you care about a prayer life?
You care about the Word of God? We don't come in here on Wednesday night and go deep in the Word and it's dead and dry and you walk away saying, good night in the morning. What did he just say? We walk away saying, I can do that. And that's right there where I live. I needed somebody to teach that to me. Right now, I am having so much fun. I mean, I am having a good time on Wednesday nights. We're talking about child rearing. And some of you, you need to wake up and realize something. You are not going to solve your problem with your family and your marriage and your children outside the church. Get faithful to your church. God gave you a church to help you. And on Wednesday night, I'm busy as fast as I can helping everybody I can. Child rearing. I taught a lesson called Let's Be Merciful. I taught a lesson called Whose Children Are They? I taught a lesson called How Many, How Often, and When? I taught a lesson called In the Womb. I taught a lesson called How to Deal with a Miscarriage. I taught a lesson about helping your child reach their potential. I taught a lesson about child rearing and living by schedule and child rearing and your church. And I taught a lesson about a boy that stayed home. I taught two lessons on how to develop character in your child. I taught two lessons on your child's associations. I taught a lesson on how to pray for your children and grandchildren, child rearing in praise, helps in instructing a child, child rearing in wisdom, child rearing in authority, child rearing in grandparents. I taught a lesson called Give Me Thine Heart. I taught a lesson called Team Child Rearing. I taught a lesson called The World's Worst Babysitter. I taught a lesson called Please Don't Hurt My Heart. I taught a lesson called Reach the Heart First, Then the Head. I taught that two Wednesdays in a row. I'm going to tell you something. If you missed the last two Wednesday nights, I feel sorry for you.
Yes, sir.
It is revolutionizing our understanding of how to reach our kids, get their heart, keep their heart, so the devil doesn't steal their heart. And you're wondering, what's going on with my kids? Why can't I reach them? Come on Wednesday night, I'm begging you, let me help you.
Amen.
And it's not because I'm Jeff Owens, but it is because this book will help you.
Amen.
And on Wednesday night, we pile it on and we practically apply the Scripture and the principles of God.
Amen.
Oh, you just don't know what you're missing.
Amen.
See, on Wednesday night, you say, all of that, well, that's not the whole list and I'm done because I don't think you can take any more of the list. We taught more than that. We have. Look at everything you've missed. If you're a member of this church, you are responsible to hear the preaching and the teaching that's made available to its members. When you get to heaven and, hey, let's say you face God and you say, God said, boy, you had a lot of goofed up things down there. You're going to say, but I didn't know how. And God's going to say, got a list to read you what went on at your church when you didn't show up. Say, God, I just feel cheated. I didn't have anybody teach me to handle my finances, and nobody taught me how to handle my kids or my marriage or soul winning or prayer. Oh, God, I feel cheated. This church isn't getting cheated. God's going to turn around and say, I just happen to know your pastor. He doesn't know all pastors. He said, I just happen to know your pastor. I happen to know what he taught you. I happen to know he begged you to come. He begged you to be there to receive the food that was made available. God expects you to hear all those lessons so you can be happy. You know, everything I just taught you, God loves you so much. God is trying to help you to learn how to pray and get things. God's trying to help you to let the Word of God become powerful in your life. God is trying to help you with your finances and help you with your marriage and help you with your kids. God's trying to help you with all of that. He loves you. That's why He gave you a church. That's why He gave you a pastor. That's why He gave you all of that. Show up and get what God has for you. On a Wednesday night, I taught a challenge to our congregation on being aware of opportunities to satisfy Jesus. Now, Brother Nash, he's not afraid to testify for Jesus. He's known for his faith. Matter of fact, his boldness. He loves talking about the Lord. You know that he's known to stand on his front porch for the benefit of his atheist neighbor and shout, praise the Lord! He'll go out front and just shout, praise the Lord! Because of that atheist that lives right next door. Well, his atheist would yell back, there ain't no God, Nash. Well, Brother Nash was a little short on funds one week, and he stood on his front porch and he shouted, praise the Lord! Please, God, send me some groceries. Next morning, he found a bag of groceries on his front porch. He went out and did what he usually did. Grabbed up that bag of groceries and shouted, praise the Lord! Look at these groceries I got! About that time, on cue, his atheist neighbor climbed out from behind a bush He said, "Hey, Nash, don't you be giving God credit for that bag of groceries. I bought those groceries for you. I put them there, not God." Brother Nash started clapping his hands and he said, "Praise the Lord." He was jumping up and down and he said, "Praise God. God not only gave me the groceries I wanted, He made the devil pay for them and deliver them." Why? All because of teaching on Wednesday night. Listen, let me say number four. God wants you to come to the Wednesday evening service because of the fellowship that we experience here on Wednesday nights. Why should you come? Because on Wednesday night we fellowship with God's people. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." We need the fellowship. Every Wednesday night, hundreds of God's people meet at this place to fellowship with one another. We encourage one another. It's an opportunity in the middle of the week to get with the brethren. It's like a midweek family reunion. It's coming out of the world and meeting with God's people to gain strength and encouragement to continue to serve Him. Number five, you ought to come to the midweek service because we come here and we meet and we sing praises to God every Wednesday night. Amen. Every Wednesday night. The Bible says in Psalm 147 verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is a good thing to sing praises unto our God." Every Wednesday night we sing four songs of praise to God in a Wednesday night service. And you cannot get enough of that.
Amen.
You need good music in your life. And I'll promise you something. The people that are listening to the right kind of music and the purest music, it's a backbone of the church that are here on Wednesday night. And the further away from God you are, the further you are away from the right kind of music. The less church you attend, the less you are apt to do the right thing in regard to your music. That means if you don't come on a Wednesday night, if there are four songs every Wednesday night, you're missing 208 songs of singing praises to your God every year. You're supposed to be here to sing those praises. He expects you to be here and raise your voice with the other hundreds of people on a Wednesday night and sing. If you've been in this church since I've become the pastor almost 5 years, you've not been coming to the Wednesday nights, you have missed over 1,000 songs of praise to your God. Now you need to be here on a Wednesday night. You need the singing to encourage you in the middle of the week. One of the most delightful parts of our Wednesday night service is the song service and the songs that we sing. Hey, boy, brother, I like to be here on a Sunday morning where we sing. We do it on Wednesday night, too. Let me say this, number six. There are wonderful opportunities that you're missing on a Wednesday night. Wonderful opportunities. Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." For someone to say, "Well, I don't want to do that." You got a rebellious spirit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the house of the Lord.
Right.
You miss meeting the visitors who come on a Wednesday night, and we have many.
Right. Amen.
Your church, you're a member. But, and you miss meeting visitors that needed your howdy and your handshake and your pat on the back and your welcome to come back. You miss being involved in the offerings that we take on Wednesday night. You missed on a chance to give. You missed on a chance to see it happen. You missed the invitation and altars full on Wednesday night because see it happens on Wednesday night also.
Amen.
You missed the opening night of our missions conference. Our missions conference this year, we honored a little boy from Albania that had a terrible brain tumor, and we did a lot of wonderful things for him. You missed it.
Right.
You missed it because you missed Wednesday night. You missed some wonderful special music that was presented by our soloists, our duets, our trios, and our quartets. You missed our unique Wednesday night services where God moves in a powerful way, just like He does on Sunday morning. You missed our Thanksgiving service this year. You missed every one of our Thanksgiving services because you didn't come on a Wednesday night. You missed how God moved in a special way. Your children miss our primary choir that starts at 6:10 on Wednesday night in room 307 here at the elementary building. That's for ages 4 through, that's 4 years old through 2nd grade. You missed it. Your kids missed it. Your children missed our junior choir, which meets back here in the choir. Let me make sure of it. They meet in the choir ready room at 6:10 on a Wednesday night. Your kids are missing that. That's for kids from 3rd grade through 6th grade. Your teenagers, when they don't come on Wednesday night, they're missing at 6:10 our teenage choir. They meet at 6:10 out here in mobile unit number 3. That's for the young people 7th through 12th grade. You missed an opportunity to serve God by not coming on Wednesday night. There are many people here that serve God on a Wednesday night. We have our greeters. We have our nursery workers. We have our baptistry workers. We have special music participants, name takers, ushers, altar workers, instrumentalists, sometimes choir. You miss being there to help with soul winning, the janitorial crew, the Shenandoah hospitality ministry. You're missing all the choirs, primary choir, junior choir, teen choir, the snow removal. There's something happening around here on Wednesday.
Right.
This is a happening place. I said to you, it's very scriptural. Having Wednesday evening service, it's scriptural. Listen, Thomas missed the night service. He missed a lot of important things. You come on Wednesday night, you're going to find out great things, according to the Bible, happen at night. Being at church on Wednesday night, you learn more of God's Word. Being in church on a Wednesday night, you keep from missing the important things of God and the will of God. Being in church on Wednesday night, you get the fellowship of God's people. Being in church on Wednesday night, you're going to be there to sing the praises to God that we all sing. Being to church on Wednesday night, you keep from missing all the activity and all the service to God. When you miss Wednesday night church, you're missing seeing some people saved.
Right.
Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." On Wednesday nights, we see people born again.
Right.
We see people saved here all the time on Wednesday night. You say, on Wednesday night too? Yeah, Wednesday night, Sunday night. All the time. There are people baptized on Wednesday nights. We trouble the baptistry. We put people in the baptistry on Wednesday night. There are people that get right with God on Wednesday nights. Hey, person that won't come back to church at night. We see marriages salvaged on Wednesday night. Where were you? Well, I was at home watching TV. We were busy saving somebody else's marriage. We were salvaging somebody else's child. Last 25 weeks, we've been helping all sorts of kids so they don't become rebels by teaching mom and dad how to rear them according to the Bible.
Right.
You'll regret it someday. You'll say, should have been there.
Yes,
I'm begging you, be here.
Amen,
Wednesday night. I'm almost finished. You stay with me. Wednesday nights, you miss all the announcements that are made here at the church. We have business meetings on Wednesday nights. You say, why on Wednesday night? Because that's when the backbone of the church shows up. We make announcements to keep our church unified on Wednesday night. Remember that, troublemaker.
Amen.
You miss it. Hey, you miss on Wednesday night services, you miss being faithful to God. You're supposed to be faithful to God. You're being faithful to your church. Your husband needs to see you be faithful. Your wife needs to see you be faithful. Your kids need to see you be faithful. The new converts of our church need to see you be faithful. And if you won't be faithful, you're going to have a hard time finding a place to serve around here, because God requires faithfulness as a prerequisite to service in a church. You can't use people that won't show up. You can't get there undependable. You know, the strength of a church is determined on Sunday, on Wednesday night, not Sunday morning. The strength of the church is determined. Hey, the strength of our church is not determined by all the people that are here today. It's determined on the people that are faithful. You'll find the strongest Christians in the church are the Wednesday night crowd. Wouldn't you like to be a part? The ones that serve God most diligently. They're the ones that are there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. All you have to do is use a little logic. They're hearing more of the Word of God. They're singing more praises to God. They're learning the doctrine more. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
You'll find the Christians who live the holiest lives are the ones that are here the most. You'll find the most dependable, productive people in the church are the ones that are here the most. Now, I realize there are people that have to work on Wednesday nights. I realize that. Some people's jobs demand that they can't be here. I understand that. But I also know people that when they pick their job, try to pick them so they can be at church. I also know some people that when they have a choice, they choose a shift so they can be at church on Wednesday night. I know people, I know wives that when their husbands work on Wednesday night, the wife and the kids come to church anyway.
Amen.
Instead of using that dad's at work as an excuse. I know people that get off work just in time to run in here and they wear their work clothes into church on Wednesday night. God bless you.
Amen.
It's important to them.
Amen.
It's important to them. I know men that will come in 10 or 15 minutes late into the service, not because they want to be late, because they just got off work and they came right over here with their work clothes on and said, I got to be there.
Amen.
Wednesday night church pleases God.
Amen.
No doubt in my mind about it. How could it not please God? Look, Thomas missed the night service, missed a lot of important things. If you will stop and look at what God's doing in this place, He's doing it through the people that are here at the midweek service.
Amen. Good.
I have merely today taught you how you can become a part of the backbone of the church. We're going to have some fun through April, midweek service. But whether we're going to have the fun or not, we have to have some people that step up and say, I'm going to start being faithful to my church.
Amen.
I'm just going to stop by on Sunday morning. I'm not mad at you. Hey, if all you'll come on Sunday morning, come on. That's all right. We'll take you. We want you here. But how'd you like to become a part of the center of the circle of what's going on around here?
Amen.
How'd you like that? It'll qualify you for a lot of things. The midweek service. I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I told you it would be a different kind of a service. It has been. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior,
we invite you to the Savior. You ought to get saved. The Bible teaches you're a sinner. The Bible teaches that sinners die and go to hell, but that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, and He's made heaven available to you. It's a free gift. If you'll turn to Him and say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, forgive me of my sin, He'll do it, and you can go to heaven someday when you die. If you're here, you're a guest, you're a visitor, you say, I've never been saved, I need to be saved, then we invite you to the Savior. In a moment, we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. The choir will begin to sing. The men on this platform will leave the platform. They'll step down to the lower level, and they'll stand at the front at the end of each aisle. If you've never been saved, why don't you leave your seat, walk toward the front, walk up to one of these men, say, I need to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You can leave this place on your way to heaven. I wish you would. Some of you have been saved, but you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You need to take care of that today. Some of you have been saved and you've never made public your salvation. You've not told anybody you've been saved. If you got saved out there sometime this week or in the last month or two, you say, I've been saved, but nobody really knows. Why don't you come and let us just tell the congregation that you got born again. We'll help you. Come and make public your salvation. There's some of you, you used to come to church at the night services. You used to come. But you've gotten away from the Lord. You've become unfaithful. I wish you'd figure it out. I wish you'd straighten it out. And all sorts of people ought to decide, you know what? I'm missing all that on a Wednesday night. I need to be in my place. Who here would say God spoke into my heart this morning about something specifically in regard to this sermon? And you'll raise your hand. I see hands up all over the place. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet.